Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Moose Knuckle Radio with your host, Don and Justin.
Well, hello and welcome to Moose Knuckle Radio. I am not Don, nor am I Justin. However, I am the Dean of Credibility, Double D, and I am here on Moose Knuckle Radio, and I'm joined by Moose Knuckle Radio regular, the only regular at this point. It is Justin. How are you, Justin?
Hello, Dean. Since we're going to open up with Cheapy Talk and the Flipsticks Trio with that smooth jazz sound.
That's right. Do you like it?
I love Cheapy Talk and the Flipsticks Trio, so I'm going to talk in my smooth jazz voice all show long.
Hey, it's Moose Knuckle Radio. I wouldn't expect anything different, Justin.
It's how we do it. So how are you doing, Dean? How are you doing?
Do you like the intro, though?
I do.
On a serious note.
I am probably the only one who is going to like it outside of you.
Well, the outro is a continuation of the intro.
I'm sure Don, when he wakes up from his probably food-induced coma, hears it, will be upset about it.
Really? Really? He doesn't like jazz? It's very upbeat. It gets people in the mood.
Absolutely, it gets people in the mood, especially when you're speaking real smooth.
That's right. Well, what are we going to talk about tonight, Justin? I know the original plan was to talk about Chris Christie and this Bridgegate scandal.
Yes, Bridgegate. Do you have news music you could play real fast?
Not right now. I already have the first segment queued up, if you will. So I don't want to go back. I can. You know what?
So as we're talking about the rest of the show, you can look for the important.
There you go.
News.
So that's not really breaking news, but it is a story that is continuing on.
Yes. Yes. There's lots of stuff going on, lots of bridges being closed, and from what I could tell, there's an angry, overweight man yelling at young Jewish women.
Expert analysis, as only Moose Knuckle Radio can deliver.
That's what we bring.
I love it, Justin. We're also going to, you know what, let's talk about WWE Network. I want to get your spin on things. We've talked about it since really it broke, and I have a clip to play. So we can just go right into that as well. Some more news, another perspective, if you will, on the WWE Network.
I certainly enjoy talking about that because, as you guys know, I used to be a wrestler. Never to the degree and pedigree of the WWE, so you won't be seeing my tapes on there.
Well, send it in. You know, offer WWE. You have all the footage from New Moon Rising Wrestling, am I correct?
Yes, I do.
Well, most of it.
Yes, most
probably
of
our
it.
Best. Probably our best show you don't have, but
no, that show. that show, yeah. I believe Luke was just recently born after that one, and I was under a lot of stress, and I made a mistake.
So instead of the handicapped heroes against highly entertaining wrestlers, you have Luke playing with toys.
Yes.
What?
Which I'm sure all wrestling fans want to see.
Whoopsie.
A two-month-old Luke playing with toys.
You know what? Get me and Brady there. We'll give commentary to Luke playing with his toys.
I think you guys need to come over for a second birthday party, commentate it, and then when he turns 18, I'll show it to him just to confuse the shit out of him.
We should. You know what?
Dad, why did every year you have these two guys come over and commentate my parties?
Brady,
why wouldn't I do it?
Hicks, it looks like he's opening up his presents. Will you have some decorum?
Well, Dean, all I can tell right now is that he's excited for the gift that he got.
I think that would happen. That would be great. You know what?
You know, Dean, I think I'm going to go play with that truck with him.
I think that's a once-a-year gig that I can certainly sign up for. We're also going to talk about this Microsoft scandal, YouTube, Xbox One. You have a lot more information about
it. The Internet is ablaze by it because they don't understand how YouTube works, and or they don't understand, from what I am gathering, they don't understand that large corporations look at YouTube as a marketing empire. Like, they look at it as a way to market instead of just these independent geniuses that, you know, put out all of this free content.
Yeah, very, very, very true. I hope Boogie is not part of this.
He actually put out a video today, and he explained it very well on how it works. And he said, he said in his video, he goes, "This video that I'm putting out now may cost me thousands of dollars down the line in revenue, but my fans need to know how the whole system works." And he explained it. And that's the best video to watch, is the Boogie video.
I'll search that out for my own edification. Probably put up a link too on the Twitters and whatnot.
Yes.
Because this sounds like an interesting story. I don't know much about it, but you're going to fill me all in once we get there. Now, I think a good place to start, Justin, would be this good old Bridgegate scandal that's going on in New Jersey.
Yes.
Apparently,
they closed the Walt Whitman Bridge because of snow.
No, that's not what happened, Justin.
Oh.
But is it closed right now?
I don't know. Probably.
This actually dealt with the George Washington Bridge in Fort Lee, New Jersey, and some are saying it was retaliation because the mayor of Fort Lee did not
I know he didn't agree with some of the things Christie wanted to pass.
He didn't endorse him. That's what it was. He didn't endorse him when Christie was running for re-election.
Yes.
So they're saying it could be retaliation for that. Rachel Maddow from the Rachel Maddow Show on MSNBC has a...
No relation to Mike Madoff?
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Dean, it's just me and you tonight, so the inside jokes are going to come out. Don can't stop me.
That's true. No relation to Mike Madoff, but Rachel Maddow from MSNBC came out with a different thing, basically that Christie was firing back over some judicial candidates the day before this all broke loose, which was sometime in August.
Yes.
Christie went on the record calling Democrats animals.
Yes.
It's on the record. And the next following days, this is when Bridgegate happened. Actually, the next morning at 7:54 in the morning was the email that was sent. But we're going to get all to that. Before we get there, Justin, let's go back in time, if you will, to Chris Christie, about 2 weeks ago, had a press conference. He apologized, as only our governor can do.
Okay, let's hear it.
So it's a 5-minute clip. We'll be back on the other side.
Today to apologize to the people of New Jersey. I apologize to the people of Fort Lee, and I apologize to the members of the state legislature. I am embarrassed and humiliated by the conduct of some of the people on my team. There's no doubt in my mind that the conduct that they exhibited is completely unacceptable and showed a lack of respect for their appropriate role of government and for the people that we're trusted to serve. two pieces to what I want to talk about today. The first is, I believe that all of the people who were affected by this conduct deserve this apology, and that's why I'm giving it to them. I also need to apologize to them for my failure as the governor of this state to understand the true nature of this problem sooner than I did. But I believe I have an understanding now of the true nature of the problem, and I've taken the following action as a result. This morning, I've terminated the employment of Bridget Kelly, effective immediately. I terminated her employment because she lied to me. I brought my senior staff together, I think about 4 weeks ago, tomorrow, and I put to all of them one simple challenge. If there is any information that you know about the decision to close these lanes in Fort Lee, you have 1 hour to tell either my chief of staff, Kevin O'Dowd, or my chief counsel, Charlie McKenna. I told them that in an hour I was going to go out in a press conference, and if no one gave me other information to the contrary, that I was going to say that no one on my staff was involved in this matter. Over the course of the next hour, Kevin and Charlie interviewed each member of my senior staff, came back and reported to me that they all reported that there was no information other than what we already knew that had been testified to by Senator Barone regarding this incident. I then questioned Kevin O'Dowd and Charlie McKenna directly, since they are the only two who report directly to me, and they assured me that they had no information that would change my ability to be able to say that no one, in response to Angie's question, on my staff was involved in this matter. That was obviously a lie. And the emails that I saw for the first time yesterday morning when they were broken in, I believe, the Bergen Records story, proved that that was a lie. There's no justification for that behavior. There's no justification for ever lying to a governor or a person in authority in this government. And as a result, I've terminated Bridget's employment immediately this morning.
New Jersey playing us out there. And Justin, just your thoughts upon hearing Chris Christie's apology to the people of New Jersey.
He sounded very sincere. I mean, like I said to you in private, this whole thing is just more confusing than the JFK thing.
And as you said, at least there was a passy. I think he tried to set up his, I forget her exact title, but
so
I think he tried to set her up as the passy, but...
The man that has people kicked out of town hall meetings for questioning his authority could never have done this, but yet somebody on his staff did,
now,
is what he's telling us.
Here's the timeline of events. Now, August 13th, Deputy Chief of Staff to Christie. This is Bridget Ann Kelly, who was fired without an explanation. He didn't even ask her what happened. He didn't go digging.
She lied to him. according to the apology.
Yes. So he didn't have, he didn't want to know her explanation, just fired her, terminated her employment.
I'm sure she's going to be a governor in Colorado in another year or two.
But she emails.
The Republicans will take care of her.
She emails David Wildstein. He's the governor's appointee to the Port Authority, saying time for some traffic, problems in Fort Lee. Wildstein then replies, got it. Time goes on, September 6th, Wildstein, now he is the Port Authority's Director of Interstate Capital Projects, orders the bridge's general manager to carry out the closures. September 9th, the Port Authority closes two of three local access lanes from Fort Lee to the George Washington Bridge. Now, this is the nation's busiest crossing. It brings traffic to a halt and turns the borough, the entire city of Fort Lee, into a parking lot. Records show that Fort Lee Mayor Mark Solotash asked the Port Authority to ask what is happening. Time and goes on, and it was 4 days of gridlock in the town of Fort Lee.
When did the old lady die?
I'm not sure, but that did happen. What Justin is bringing up, for those that don't know, is during this time, emergency services were even snarled in this gridlock over whatever the reason is, because we don't know what the reason is as of yet. People are getting subpoenaed day by day, but an elderly lady did pass away. School children were late to school.
And he's tough on education.
Yeah, just a lot of things are coming from this. Let's see. Time goes on. Wildstein writes to Christie's. This is September 18th. Two-time campaign manager, and includes a story about the lane closure published in the Wall Street Journal. Stepien, I think his name is Bill Stepien. This is campaign manager. Says it's fine. The mayor is an idiot, though, referring to Sokolovich. Wildstein responds, I had empty boxes ready to take to work just in case. Not sure what that means. I guess because he was going to get fired or something. I'm not sure. But whatever the case is, this is going on. Now, on the flip side of things, Rachel Maddow has done some digging, and Huffington Post sums it up like this. Sums up Maddow's theory.
Well, because Huffington Post loves the Republicans.
Well, sure. this is basically Maddow's theory, that by late August, Supreme Court Justice Helen Hoens, a Republican, was up for re-nomination. When state Democrats signaled they would challenge Christie's nomination, the governor said he wouldn't nominate her. I simply could not be party to the destruction of Helen Hoens' professional reputation, Christie said during an August press conference. I was not going to let her loose to the animals, end quote. As Maddow pointed out, the press conference was the evening before Christie's deputy chief of state, Bridget Ann Kelly, sent an email requesting traffic problems in Fort Lee, end quote, to David Wildstein, one of Christie's top aides at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which, of course, runs the bridge. What's more, Fort Lee is represented by Senator Loretta Weinberg, the state's Senate Democratic leader. And Maddow herself summed it up with, roughly 12 hours after Governor Christie blows up at the state Democrats and torpedoes the career of a Supreme Court justice who he likes, the leader of those animals in the Senate sees her district get the order of destruction from Governor Christie's deputy chief of staff, Maddow concluded. Well, your thoughts on that news there?
I made a joke about, you know, the Huffington Post and their attention on the Republicans, but a lot of the guys over there do a good job of actually investigative reporting instead of, you know, politically sponsored reporting.
Yeah.
So I can't say that she's off. I mean, I know she's done her job in reporting on these things.
It seems that there's really not a why this happened. I believe Christie would know more than he's letting on, and it could be the end. I think it's a great thing, though, because he was really set up to be a strong contender for the 2016 presidential campaign, so only 2 years away.
Well, now the question is, okay, now we have either nobody, which, you know, at least the Republicans had somebody, or, you know, Dipsy McDipstick.
No, I don't think it's Dipsy. I think they might go for Jeb. I'm not sure if he's properly...
No, I'm talking the Democrats.
Oh.
They're gonna run old Dipstick.
They're not going to run... who is the VP right now?
No. They're going to run Hillary.
Well, that may happen. You don't agree with Hillary. You don't think she has enough experience?
No, I don't think she has enough brains in her head. She's an asshole. And I probably shouldn't be saying that on the radio, because now the NSA is going to be watching us. But
well, that's fine. You know, that's an opinion that you have.
Yeah. She has a lot. She agrees with a lot of things that I completely disagree with.
Okay, so it's basically just a differing psychologies, or philosophies, rather.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, Jeb Bush may really get a strong look at now.
Hey, I'll take a third Bush.
You know, a bird in the hand.
Yes.
Better than... But,
I
think that's kind of scary,
and
though,
I got into an argument with a good friend of mine a couple of years back. And we know we're still friends, because we know it's just politics, so it doesn't really matter. I said to him, like, you know, if this, and I know you probably disagree with me on this, but if depending on how Obama does this healthcare nonsense, you know, socializing healthcare, well, then I'd rather have pushback, because I'd rather at least know what his ambitions are. His ambitions are to help his friends that run private military corporations. Everybody knew that. And his friends in the oil industry, everybody knew that. But at least, you know, money wasn't coming out of my pocket to do that.
So you would rather at least know what his ambitions are.
Yeah.
Even though he hides it behind a blanket of obscurity, so to say.
Yeah, but you knew the entire time, like, it was like, oh, man, Al-Qaeda attacked us. Let's go after Saddam. Oh, well, okay. Well, I guess I know where his ambitions are. He wants war in the Middle East, and then he sends the VP's, a company that the VP sits on the board of, over to the Middle East to be a private military corporation. Oh, gee, I wonder what his ambitions are. It was blatantly obvious. You know, this knucklehead now, it's like, what are you trying to do? Like, are you just trying to, like, what's the end game with this whole making me have to pay for other people's health insurance deal?
Well, I think that would be a philosophy we disagree on. And since I'm just filling in, I think we'll hold that off for maybe around the elections. Because this show will be so much fun. When the political seasons get really running,
here's the reason why, because you and I are friends and professionals, and we don't allow our political views to get in the way.
Oh, sure, but I
won't be like, oh, Dean, you're wrong, man. I'm not talking to you. You don't know what you're talking about.
See, well, the whole thing with me when it comes to healthcare, it really depends on the situation the person's in. If somebody can't...
No, it does. There are portions of the healthcare law that I completely agree with that needed to be in there.
Yes.
Like, you can't deny people for pre-existing conditions, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that he uses healthcare law in shady ways or questionable ways, that's what I don't agree with. Same thing with, you know, he uses the IRS in questionable ways, and I don't agree with that.
Yeah, but what president hasn't used the IRS? That's gone back to JFK even.
Well, yeah, I mean, I disagree with the IRS that they even exist. I mean, right now, I use them as my savings bank. At the end of the year, or at the beginning of the year, I get a nice little check that I gave them that they earn interest off of the entire year, but it's, you know, there's nothing you could do. I'm not one of those dickheads who thinks, oh, well, there's no law that says I need to pay taxes. Really? Well, here's the law. We'll send you to jail.
Very true.
You know, it doesn't matter if there's a law or not. They're going to send you to jail if you don't pay your taxes. So pay your taxes.
Very, very true. Luckily, that's taken care of. If you have a normal employee-employer relationship, that's taken care of through payroll taxes. But a lot of independent contractors don't think that way. It's very odd because we're from, you know, the wrestling world in a way. And that money that you receive...
I earned zero money from wrestling.
Well, true.
Let me put that out there.
Unfortunately, true.
Can't pay taxes on zero.
you should have, true, but you should have been paid more for the amount of work you were doing at some time. We're not getting into that. That's not the basis. But a lot of people in wrestling don't even think of this. If you really want to get paid what you – oh, okay, fine. I'll send you a 1099 at the end of the year. Because you're an independent contractor, you got to pay your own payroll taxes.
Yeah.
So think of it that way, too, wrestlers out there. If you're not getting a 1099, then you're actually illegally receiving money. But that's neither here nor there. I don't even know why I went into that. But anyway, I want to talk about Donald Rumsfeld. He was actually somebody – when you started talking about George Bush and his administration, there's actually a documentary coming out, or it's already out. It looks like it was released – no, it's being released January 16th, 2014, so it was just released. It's called The Unknown Known. Now, what this is a documentary. Now, are you familiar with the works of Errol Morris in the documentary world?
No, yeah. I'm not. No,
well,
I'm not.
Errol Morris put out a wonderful documentary called The Fog of War. Now, this was about Robert McNamara. Had to think there for a second, which was Kennedy's Secretary of Defense and later on LBJ's Secretary of Defense, one of the WIDS kids.
Okay.
Great documentary about why 12 rules to war. And I'll put those 12 rules because I think they also correspond to life. Great documentary. If you have a chance, it really goes in depth to why he did things the way he did. And why he felt the way behind the Vietnam War, things like that. Errol Morris also came out with a great documentary called The Thin Blue Line, which was about a shooting where a man was convicted of shooting a police officer and killing the police officer, but he actually did not. And as a result of this documentary, the conviction was reversed. So Errol Morris...
I was about to say, it wasn't that Mooie Mark bullshit, was it?
No.
That asshole.
No, it wasn't that. But Errol Morris is...
You know what I'm talking about? The guy in Philly kills a cop in front of, like, 12 people and then turns around after confessing and going, "Well, I didn't do it. I was set up."
Oh, Mumia. Yeah. But no, it's not that. It's not that. This happened somewhere in Arizona. It wasn't that, because Mumia is still in prison.
Yeah.
But the conviction was overturned. So he has socially conscious... documentaries, and The Unknown Known is about Rumsfeld's life. Now, the tagline to this is, it's former United States Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld discusses his career in Washington, D.C., from his day as a congressman in the early 1960s to planning the invasion of Iraq in 2003. So check that out. I think a little more backstory to...
Hold on. Planning the invasion of Iraq in 2003 or planning the invasion of Iraq in 1997?
Very well could be true. Very well could be true. But I think getting back to the Bridgegate scandal, what's your final analysis of Bridgegate, Christie? More truth to come? What do you feel?
I honestly think there's something else going on, and this whole thing is just, you know, to distract people. Like I said in our first episode, we, you know, the whole, when the government shut down, you know, they do these things to distract people about other problems that are going on.
So this is just the front, if you will, to
because
a much bigger story.
Yeah, it gets in the news. There's definitely a bigger story going on that has nothing to do with this. You know, he'll get kudos somewhere. You know, like I said, that Miss Kelly, whatever, a couple of years from now, she'll probably be a governor or a mayor somewhere.
That's a very valid point. The game of politics is a very very...
Like, you know, they
I can't think of the word, but...
They sit there and I'll bring this one up off air.
Oh.
We'll just go on, because I don't want to... I there's some things that shouldn't be said on air.
I get you. We'll talk off air. That's fine. Now, another thing that I did want to bring up is the WWE Network. Justin.
Yes.
As we're moving on, we spent plenty of time on Christy. Now, the WWE Network, I do have a little clip to play. If you've listened to the program, the other programs on here, you probably heard it before. But the thing is, this is a fresh perspective from Moose Knuckle Entertainment. And I think it's a great perspective coming from Justin, because he was in the business. What he wants to see come out of this. Not only that, what are you excited about before I play the clip about the WWE Network, if you are excited about something?
Watching Nitro in circa 1997.
Well, we all have a reason for why we want the WWE Network.
No, I know you don't agree with your co-host on the Hell in the Cell Talk Radio, Cujo, but Cujo and I are both big WCW fans. And watching the old WCW pay-per-views, the old WCW matches, that's what I'm really excited about.
So here
it is. Which is very strange, because, you know, I'm a big guy all about entertainment and, you know, entertainment value and stuff like that. And,
well, you,
I really, you know, pushing the, you know, being such in love with the WCW product was, you know, it was a little different.
Were you a fan up until the end, like Dan was?
Where I was taping shows and then documenting them and doing, like, my own commentary? No.
Fair enough. But he was a big WCW fan until the end, and I tuned out.
Dude,
right, 97, 98.
I was watching all the way up until, like, I watched that last match and, like, you know, got choked up because it was over, and I knew, you know, being a wrestling fan wasn't going to be the same ever again.
Well, I actually watched that episode yesterday, but let me play this clip and we'll be back. It's about a 3-minute clip, but it gives you a good oversight of what's going on with the network.
Today is a great day to be a WWE fan, because we are announcing the launch of the WWE Network.
WWE Network is the first over-the-top network to offer the best of both worlds. 24/7 streaming service, live content, all 12 live WWE pay-per-view events, including
WrestleMania!
Anywhere, anytime, delivered directly by WWE for only $9.99 per month.
Vince is so visionary. He's bold enough to actually take the step forward, go where no other content has gone.
The WWE Network will launch with a full slate of programming where we will take you where we've never gone before. The premiere of our newest reality show, Legends House.
Legends never die. They just get better.
With the WWE Network, we now let you look back with WrestleMania Rewind.
Let DX show you how this is done. Let's get ready for WWE Countdown!
WWE Countdown puts the power squarely in our viewers' hands. Behind the scenes, Vince McMahon was embroiled in a real-life battle for the livelihood of his company as what became known as the Monday Night War.
With over 100,000 hours of digitized content, there will be groundbreaking original series, in-ring shows, live pre- and post-shows for Raw and SmackDown, and soon to come, a live daily studio show. As I mentioned, WWE Network includes all 12 live WWE pay-per-view events for only $9.99 per month.
Oh, hell yeah! A
I'm happy in hell to be here. It's a great time to be a part of WWE. It's a better time to be a WWE fan.
To the question on everyone's mind in the WWE universe, both here and around the world, is when. When can we all be part of the WWE Network? Right after Monday Night Raw, February 24th, 11:05 Eastern, the WWE Network goes live.
WWE Network, I'm looking forward to digging it, and that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
All right, so that's the WWE Network. Now, before we get into this discussion, we do have a caller. They called in right before we got into the WWE discussion, so let me...
Interesting.
Yes, let me get them on now. Caller, state your name and where you're calling from.
This is El Diablo calling from the depths of the Grimlock system, a.k.a. New Jersey.
El Diablo, of course, of the Mystery Men. Lucha-rock.com. Pick up the album there. How are you, El Diablo?
I was doing really, really well. And then I heard you guys were talking about the buffoon in charge of the state. And I had to call in with my two cents. I had
okay.
to.
Do
it. It was shaking my bones. If you haven't seen the Jon Stewart Daily Show piece that he did regarding this entire topic, I highly recommend you seek it out because he nailed it. He literally took 2 hours to stand in front of everyone and say he knew nothing, and then rephrase the phrase, I knew nothing, no less than a couple dozen times. He reduced his staff to complete idiots. He completely pushed the I knew nothing. First of all, he said he heard about this on like a Wednesday morning after his workout. If that's not a red flag, I don't know what is.
Now, El Diablo, you bring up a great point. You, as a member of the Mystery Men, if you... say one of your sound guys was a complete idiot, would you keep him on your staff, or would you get rid of him and find somebody that was competent?
86. Gone. Capital G, double O, double N, double E.
And that's because it would affect your show and make you look like an idiot. Am I right?
Why did she work for him for 5 years beforehand?
Yeah. Yeah, if she's such an idiot, why would she work for this guy for so long?
If she's such an idiot and he works so closely with his staff, how would he not know she was an idiot after 5 lengthy years of service?
Exactly.
I've done my time working for a small business, and when you work for a small business, you're very tight. You have a very tight-knit community of different people doing different things that accomplish different tasks. No different from an elected official and his right-hand staff who he meets with multiple times on a daily basis. So
yes.
You're trying to tell me he knew nothing about any of this for months in advance when it finally dropped.
That's a very valid point.
Total bait and switch. I had nothing to do with it. I knew nothing. And now that a couple of people in my cabinet are not there anymore, I can move forward with what's really important, and that's me being rubber stamped as the Republican candidate for presidency in 2016. And don't think it's not going to happen, okay?
No, yeah, it's still going to happen.
As I say, you know, we are billed from the Grimlock system, better known as the state of New Jersey. On the way home from work one day, that fateful Tuesday a couple of months ago, when he held his coronation ceremony at the convention hall in our hometown of Asbury Park, New Jersey, and I heard that it was free to go, I said, I gotta be there. I printed out the envelope, I showed up in my ball cap, and my Chikara hoodie, and my Vote for Drew Gulak t-shirt. And I stood there in the rarefied air of people driving Lexuses, driving Cadillac Escalades, taking Hummer stretch limos to be dropped off in nice clothes. We're talking sport jackets and ties and pressed khakis so everybody could walk in past airport security, airport-level security. We're talking wands. We're talking 3D stuff. We're talking empty your pockets, no cameras, whole nine yards to walk in and breathe the same rarefied air as Chris Christie. And I had to be a part of it as a dissenter in the building. I had to just see the wicked arrogance and the complete and total just nonsense of the just the entire scene of how it went down. You can follow us on Twitter at the Mystery Men, and I'm gonna post some pictures later this evening. There's a cake. There was a cake, like a cake boss cake, where that had an attendant that was roped off that nobody could look at. And it was the governor's mansion, and out front, who was standing out front? Who do you think it was, Dean?
I'm not sure.
Out front was a slim, trim, buff, cut, chiseled, and jacked Chris Christie. Standing out front of his governor's mansion cake, thinking he was the man. It was ridiculous. The arrogance. I talked to an IT guy from Massachusetts who said, it's all just a foregone conclusion until he's rubber-stamped the Republican nominee for president of this country.
Mm.
And then, let's think real quick. Who even did Christie run against in this last election?
People don't remember. I forget her name.
Exactly. And that's the point. People don't even know what her name was. And because the mayor of Fort Lee didn't support Christie and supported some no-name candidate that Christie was going to beat by over, 70% of the margin, he still went back and was vindictive enough to say, hey, our buddy Lee, we need some traffic over there. I'm telling you, go watch the Jon Stewart Daily Show piece because he nailed it.
Well, thank you, El Diablo. This is quite the call-in. I appreciate it. Did you have anything else?
Not every day do luchador musicians call in and discuss politics, but it was shaking in my bones that I couldn't just let it go.
Well, I'm absolutely glad you called in because not only did Moose Knuckle follow you, but I personally just followed you.
Tremendous. And I'll be throwing up some pictures later on from the entire, what I call the Chris Christie coronation ceremony. I'm telling you, I had to be there. The rarefied air, the arrogance, the pressed khakis. Everybody was standing outside freezing, and the local media were like, why are you standing outside? And the guy was like, I want to be here to support my guy. Plus, it's just like going to a Springsteen concert. So, There's the intelligence factor of the people who showed up for these things. Oh, I left. I was so angry. I left and found my other artistic friends in town and stomped around and said, this is crazy. I can't deal with this. I can't believe this guy was in our town. And I shook my fist. And I yelled at Channel 4 News on their way out of town, and I said, there's more to offer in Asbury Park than just that guy.
That's right. I certainly agree with that sentiment, but I'll tell you what. Thank you so much for the call in. We're gonna talk about WWE Network right now. Do you have something very quick?
Very quickly,
yes.
I can't wait to pick up my phone and tune in to Hardcore TV from December of 1997 at the hallowed halls known as the ECW Arena to watch Hardcore TV, which will be available on the network, and you will be able to see the three-way dance of Balls, Mahoney, and Axel Rotten versus Doug Furness and Philip LaFon versus Lance Storm and Chris Candido when they win the ECW tag titles December 97, Hardcore TV. Special thanks to the WWE Network for making it happen, and special thanks to you guys for letting me on Moose Knuckle Radio. Peace.
Thank you so much, El Diablo.
El Diablo.
He's gone.
He's gone. Okay.
He had a message.
Hey, can we capture that moment in time where he thanked Moose Knuckle Radio and just blasted everywhere?
We certainly will.
All right.
I was already thinking that before I'm like, he dropped us a line there, and now it will become part of the intro.
And that's us thinking, you know, you thinking as the producer, me trying to think, forward think, you know.
Certainly. Now, WWE Network, as El Diablo even said, you'll be able to watch hardcore TV from 1997. You'll be able to watch pay-per-views dating back to 1985, starting, of course, with the WWF Classic, the first ever pay-per-view that was available. I'm excited simply on the basis of the pay-per-views. What are you most excited for?
I would have to agree with the pay-per-views. And like I said, the old WCW stuff, I wasn't really up to speed on the ECW stuff because we were only able to get one or two pay-per-views a month. We couldn't get all three.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, watch the big two or, you know, take the gamble on the ECW, where a lot of times it was, there was just shit going on. You had no idea what was going on. And then there was a phenomenal match followed up by shit going on. And then three phenomenal matches. And it just ends in a schmoz. And you're just confused.
I can kind of agree with that. I kind of agree with that. ECW, for what it's known for and the reputation it has now, there were some times you would get a pay-per-view and just be like, why are New Jack and Cronus wrestling the Dudleys? I don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that – I know. They were the Gangstanators, and
The thing that I did love about ECW was that, say – it was, you know, me versus you for the ECW World Championship, and Don finally wakes up from his food-induced coma and shows up. Well, he could pin you and become the new champion.
That could happen. Or you could have a multitude of interference, as when Taz won his first world title, when Sabu came out and attacked Shane Douglas for some reason. A lot of weird things would go on, a lot of odd booking, but it all worked somehow.
Yeah.
It all worked in this nice, cozy pile. But I'm looking forward to Legends House. That's exciting. You get to see these guys live together.
I'm not at all.
You're not looking forward to Legends House. Gene Okerlund being cranky.
It just sounds stupid. I mean, they had the Scott Hall. Scott Hall put on the YouTube thing. It was like, oh, I'm Scott Hall. This is my life. And he would walk around. You expect this dude just doing awesome shit. Being drunk and, you know, starting fights and stuff like that. But it didn't happen. I mean, it's going to be reality TV, so they're going to do, oh, we're going to fight each other. But it's not real. You know, reality TV's dumb. You know it. Just because it has, you know, guys that you used to like watching the ring doesn't make it cool. I don't know.
Have you watched Friday Night Tights yet?
I've never even heard of that.
It's interesting. It's Texas football.
Okay.
The little tykes. Like the 9-year-olds.
Yeah.
And you just get an inside glimpse of what these coaches do. It's really child abuse, quite frankly. But more on that later. I think I'll save that one for... It comes on Esquire TV, if you're not familiar. Probably never even heard of Esquire TV, have you?
I have. I'm educated.
Wasn't that G4 and then it became Esquire?
Yeah.
That's how you know.
They said, "Oh well, we're gonna change it to G4, or we're gonna go away from G4, change to Esquire, so that way we can get, like, you know, dudes that read Esquire magazine." And then at the last second, they're like, "Ah, psych! We're still gonna keep the name because we like it."
There you go.
They get rid of the best show on TV, which was that video game show that they had. You know, the G4 show.
Which one? Attack of the Show? Or the
Attack of the Show was good. They had the other one with Adam Sessler, who I'm not, you know, too huge a fan of because he's kind of a crybaby, but it is what it is.
I barely ever watch G4. I like video games, but I barely would watch it. I'm not that into that culture, I suppose. I'll play a game, but I don't need to know everything about it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's how, you know, I don't know. But
my gamer score is 36,000 points. I play a lot of games. I get the achievements. I achievement hunt on occasion. But I don't need to know the inner workings like they, you know. I get Game Informer.
Well, I when I get into something, I get like super nerd into it, you know. I mean, I used to watch WCW for Christ's sake. But I don't know. Like, I'll sit there and I'll look at the what guys on Twitter are saying about the games and all that other stuff, and you know.
Well, you know what, Justin? I believe this is a beautiful segue that we're making here. A beautiful segue into Microsoft and this scandal.
Absolutely.
Now,
sorry,
apparently... it's fine. But apparently there's some type of scandal going on. YouTube is paying some famous YouTubers.
Not YouTube,
but Microsoft is paying some YouTubers.
It came out on NeoGAF, which is a forum for video gamers that you go on, and it's really like a kind of a dirt sheet type thing, but not really. It's like a forum. That's the only way to explain it. But people talk about games. They put out different information if they obtain it or whatever. And apparently a couple months ago, Microsoft went to Machinima people. They went to Machinima and they said, hey, if you get your guys in your network to make a video about the Xbox One, then for every 1,000 views that, you know, when YouTube pays you, whatever they pay you, we'll tack on an extra $3 up to a certain amount of money. The only thing is, it has to be positive. We're not going to pay them if they're talking bad about it. It has to be, you know, and they have to show a clip for at least 30 seconds, mm-hmm. Which look, that's fine. If that's part of the, you know, thing where it's like, oh, you know, these guys like us, you know, we'll pay them because they like us, you know, they're talking good about us, they're, you know, it's cheap advertising, fine, you know, that's one thing. But then they turn around and they say, we also need you to sign a non-disclosure agreement so you can't mention that this is actually an ad campaign that we're doing, because we're kind of trying to get around the laws of it actually being an ad campaign.
Okay. Well, I do have a caller right now. Maybe they can chime in with one of the topics of discussion. I believe you know who it is.
Can you tell me the last four?
It's the number you gave me. So.
Okay. Yes, this guy actually probably won't be able to talk about that, but he is Moose Knuckle Entertainment's latest acquisition.
He is on the line.
Yes, he is. How are you, good sir?
I'm fine. It's snowing here, you know, a lot. And I got my dog out in the snow. He's, you know, taking a bloody shit, you know, it's on.
He's been drinking. And, you know, he writes our music.
Now, this is for the whole umbrella of Moose Knuckle Entertainment,
yes,
correct?
Yes, yes. And...
Well, what's his name? I don't even know his name, Justin.
His name is Brian. I don't want to give out his last name just yet unless he okays it.
Well, no, that's fine. Brian's fine.
No, that was my Aussie impression. What's up, guys?
He is a national hero.
National hero?
Yes. Like me, he was in many secret ops that he's not allowed to talk about through the military.
Can't talk about it.
Nope. So he's a national hero. He is a world-class musician.
World-class.
Yes. And he introduced me to... Well, I'm soon to be world-class. And he also introduced me to Viking metal, which is amazing music.
I have a cousin who's into Viking metal. I personally can't
Mono
understand
Mars.
It.
They're freaking awesome. Am I allowed to curse on this station? Or?
No.
Yeah, I do,
FCC
but
won't,
then Dean
like, regulate this. Or? All right.
No, well, Dean regulates it because it's better for ratings that we don't curse.
All unless right. We have the Reverend Bob Levy on.
Yeah.
That's neither here nor there.
Right, but we didn't put. But Dean, this is Brian. Brian, this is Dean.
How are
Brian,
you, Brian?
Brian also
Dean,
goes by the name
know,
of
bro.
Thor.
Thor?
I am Thor,
yes.
Actually, yeah.
The God of Thunder.
Yes, I am.
So,
I actually
Brian,
ate a big turkey leg earlier.
Brian, do you have something to add to the conversation, whether it was Bridgegate, the New Jersey governor's scandal, or whether it's WWE Network? I don't know if wrestling's your thing, or perhaps someone we're talking about now where Microsoft was buying endorsements.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but I know the governor's scandal.
Okay, well, there you go. What do you think of Bridgegate, then?
The Bridgegate, I think, was a total scam. I think Christie definitely was a big part of it, and he's just lying about everything just to, do his whole thing on, his presidency. Like, he's trying to save his presidency, his election into the presidency, that's all.
So then you definitely agree with El Diablo saying that he's rubber stamping his ticket already, but and that's why he's just thrown everybody else under the bus.
Yeah, exactly. Girl that he threw under the bus was just his, somebody just
She was the patsy.
Yeah.
She was
like,
the Jack Ruby.
I'm not big into politics, but it's a total scam. He's a douchebag, I think. But
there you go.
Sorry, Christie. I'm very
no douchebag is fine.
And honest.
No douchebag is fine. If your personal opinions are such that earlier tonight Justin called Hillary Clinton an asshole.
No.
So, yes, you did.
Oh yeah, maybe I did, but I remember I called her a dipstick.
You did say asshole. Because maybe I shouldn't call her an asshole, but
oh yeah.
But anyway, if that's your opinion.
Well, she did some stuff with the wiener, too.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness.
So.
And Brian, that's what you get on Moose Knuckle Radio.
Brian, it is a pleasure to finally hear your voice. I've heard a lot about you behind the scenes, and I can't wait to see what you do.
Well, I look forward to it, Dean. I'm a straight guy. I speak my mind, and
I have to tell you, he's been hitting me up nonstop getting him that video that you and I have been talking about.
Yes, we need to do that as soon as possible.
Yeah, and he wants that video, like he's watering at the mouth for it, so that way he could do the music for it.
Anytime,
yeah, man.
I mean,
and you know what? Justin is, I never met anybody like Justin. I mean, doing these movies and stuff like that, I'm totally, stoked to, write some music for his, upcoming movies and stuff like that. And I just can't wait to do it. Like, I'm stoked.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you do. Do you have a full-range composition studio? Like, you can add strings, you can add... do you have a synthesizer, that sort of thing, or is it just strictly guitars and percussion, things like that? What can you do? What do you bring to the table?
It's a synthesizer, and it does pretty much everything.
Okay.
Anything you want. Like, you want people to laugh in the background, I could strum a string, and I'll have people laughing in the background.
Okay.
This thing's amazing.
Cool. That sounds...
he's got a badass synth, and he writes his own stuff as well.
Hence, you don't have to worry about copyright issues.
Yes.
No, copyright issues not a problem, because everything's on... It's all my work. I don't... I'm not like Limp Bizkit, where I'm going to freaking... take
sample.
Everybody else's shit. And sorry, I cursed again, but
that's fine. But
everything's totally, totally my work.
So you can do dramatic scores. You could do like a horror film score. You could do anything under the sun. Okay.
And he's not just, you know, running his mouth. He's sent me some samples of what he's good.
Now, is there a place that people can, are you out there enough that you're taking other, or is this an exclusive contract with Moose Knuckle?
No
for
contract.
Now, there's
just
no contract. He's
helping my buddy out.
Like for now, he's just working with us, but if he picks up other gigs, It's, you know, it's his ball game. You know how we are.
Independent contractor, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, is there a website people can check out your work? Is there anything like that, or
not yet? He's got it, unless you do have a website. I know you're going to be featured on our Moose Knuckle website. I haven't told you about that, but you are.
Right. Well, I mean, not yet, but
okay. Well, something to shoot for. Do you have anything else to add, Brian?
No, not this time. I mean,
okay.
You know, thanks for having me on the station, and, you know, good luck to my buddy Justin.
Well, thank you.
Indeed. Indeed. Brian, it was a pleasure talking with you. I look forward to working with you in the future.
Likewise. Thanks.
All right. You have a good night, sir.
All right. Roger that. Out.
All right, so that was...
Spoken like a true war hero.
Indeed. The things that man has seen, I can only wonder.
I don't want to, because I'm sure it was horrific, and only a strong mind like his could take care of it.
I miss calling your matches so much. Can I just say that? The things that would come forth from my mouth. The horrors that this man has experienced, Tix. I don't think you understand.
all of which,
you know what, during the brawl
all of which you know, because I have confided in you in my my tell-all video series, which may or may not come out soon.
I hope it does.
It needs to.
Oh, we just need to do a shoot video with you
and an
just
audio
we have to talk off air, but I want to relay this story to you. I'm not sure if you ever, because when you're editing, you're just looking for start points, end points, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
What's in the middle, the sandwich, the meat, if you will, you kind of neglect. But during the brawl for it all, of course, last January, it was New Moon Rising Wrestling's Villains, the Me Society, which you were a part of, taking on the good guys, Fusion DS, a good friend of the show, Damian Dragon, was a part of that.
Yeah.
And
which it's funny. Damien and I are good friends now, but we never got to lock it up at that point.
Yeah, very
his,
true.
His friend and I beat the shit out of each other, throw chairs at each other.
Yeah.
But Damien and I didn't even touch each other during that match.
I don't think you did. I don't think you did. You were really preoccupied with Mike Reed.
Yeah, that scoundrel.
The upgrade Mike Reed. Now, the funny thing about this match was at one point
who stole my championship, by the way, and I will go to the grave saying that.
Well, he didn't win the title.
No, he didn't.
That was all Tank.
One of your greatest, but at the same time, greatest guests.
My nemesis. But anyway.
I hate you, Tank, but at the same time, I can't stop but telling you, you were one of my greatest guests.
Indeed. Now, Mike Reed sits you down in a chair and takes down your straps. You wear a singlet, for the people that don't know. Takes down your straps and chops you on your bare chest. You proceed to fall flat on your face, and you started crawling through the crowd as if some type of military maneuver. And I let the people know.
It was so he couldn't see me.
But I let the people know that you know, it's a basic military maneuver, Hicks.
Yeah, it was.
And I just love that moment. That's one of my favorite moments, calling you crawling through the crowd. Because Mike Reed, what happened at that point, he had to go all the way around to the other side because you're you're in the middle of the fans at this point. It's just a great moment. I do miss calling your matches.
Well, if I ever get in the ring, obviously you're going to have to be my manager, and I'm going to need you to personally call every one of my matches. So if I ever get back in the ring, wherever it is, if they have a commentary staff, I'm going to let the promoter know, listen, I come with Dean Dixon. Dean Dixon has to commentate my match. After he walks with me out from behind the locker room to the ring. And if need be, he comes to my rescue and, you know, gives me advice and or water and a towel.
That'd be great. But we had a similar idea with Nathan Avery, but it would be both Hicks and I, and we come out, set up our own table at ringside, and obnoxiously call his matches. You know, my goodness. See, stuff like that, that's why you love wrestling.
Yeah, because stuff like that can happen, and nobody thinks twice about it.
Yeah, people would just go, oh, he has his own commentary.
All right, that's pretty cool.
Wait, why is he getting – oh, he's his manager, too. Doesn't matter. It makes complete sense. But, Justin, we talked about a lot of topics tonight.
We grazed over a lot of topics, I remember.
Well, grazing is a good thing. It gets people talking. It gets people It gets people out there.
Excited.
Yes.
Energized.
Not only that, they can go and figure out these stories themselves. I think we really covered Bridgegate very well, especially with El Diablo's call-in. So go and check out the Jon Stewart clip.
That's where I was about to go with that.
You know what? Different brain, same mind, Justin.
Absolutely.
Just think about it.
Yes.
You got 21, I got 22, pal. Take a cup of Java there. Now, Justin, I do want to plug tomorrow night. Tomorrow night we have CZW original Sick Nick Mondo.
That's
going to
be exciting.
Yes. Of course, he was gone for 10 years, left the business in his early 20s, came back at Cage of Death 15, and he helped Rory Mondo retire. Rory Mondo is done. I have discussed this.
Really?
Yeah, Rory retired. He's in his early 20s as well. So following in the footsteps of his idol.
Wait, Rory's in his early 20s?
Yeah. He's a young kid, man.
What, has he been wrestling since he was 12? Because the dude's been around for like 10, 15 years.
Not 10, 15 years. He's been around, I think, actively wrestling. He's been around 7 years.
Oh, wow.
6 or 7. But I'll get more clarification on that in the coming weeks, because I do want to do an interview, a farewell interview with Rory Mondo. He hung up the tights. He didn't physically take off the boots or anything, but he's done.
Wow, that's a shame.
That's why Nick Mondo was there. That was his idol.
Yeah.
You never got Rory Mondo, Little Mondo, and Sick Nick?
No, Rory Mondo's a guy that when I went to a CZW show, I saw him wrestle, and I'm like, I want to wrestle that guy one day, and
that day
never
will
happened.
Never come.
Yeah.
That day will never come now, because he has retired. But Sick Nick Mondo, after 10 years, coming back at Cage of Death and helping Lucky 13 throw Matt Trema off the top of a scaffold through a table. But enough of that talk. We'll talk with him tomorrow. Also, burlesque entertainer Haley Jane will be joining us. Strike up
the
band for that one.
She is wrestling for Ladies That Wrestle and Strip.
No, actually, there's a burlesque show, but as part of this burlesque show, Kaju Big Battle will be there. Now, have you ever heard of Kaju
Big Battle?
Oh,
it's wrestling and burlesque.
Yes.
I thought it was Ladies That Wrestle and Strip at the same time.
It's not just stripping. We're going to get the clarification of that tomorrow, Justin.
Okay. Well, burlesque is an art.
Yes.
It's not. It's like the gaijin girls. You know what I'm talking about. The Japanese girls.
I'm not sure.
They wear the white face paint.
Oh, yes, geishas.
Yes.
Very
like
similar. Very similar.
But with Louisiana flavor. Kind of like Popeyes. It's the Popeyes of geisha. It's the Popeyes chicken of geisha.
I never know where you're going to go with things. It's such a roller coaster with you. Now, on the 25th.
Can you tell her that? That
it's that, the Popeyes of geese.
That, yes, that,
that
burlesque is the Popeyes of geisha. It's the Popeyes chicken of geisha.
Now, also, we're working on something very exciting for this program, and I do want to bring a light to it. Of course, if you are a longtime listener to this program, Milt Quibner is an enigma. He's very hard to get a hold
yes.
of.
Yes. Milt Quibner is more of an enigma than Donnie's waistline.
So that interview has fallen through for the time being. However, I am working on...
We will have Milt. Need Milt.
One day, Milt Quibner will... you know what? I got to write a note right now. This is what I'm doing. Piece of paper. Milt Quibner. But what I do want people to know is that we are working on a very exciting interview. Now, I was a high school friend of someone who is now working on House of Cards. She has a very exciting career. Her first breakthrough was the film Whip It with Ellen Page.
Her name is Kevin Spacey.
Yeah, you know, we're good old friends.
Yeah.
But she worked on Whip It with Ellen Page. She's a part of the art department. She is an assistant property manager on House of Cards, and she has worked on the art department in what surprised you, Red Dawn.
Yes. Well, not surprised me, excited me.
She's worked in...
I don't want to say surprised because that means that I'm doubting her talent.
Oh, well, it surprised me because I wasn't even aware of that at the time. I knew she was on House of Cards because she talked about it a lot on her Facebook page. I knew about Whip It because that was her first breakthrough thing, but I didn't know about anything else. So, of course, I'm talking about Sharon Rocky Roggio, and she will be here after the season debuts for House of Cards. She has signed a non-disclosure agreement, so she cannot talk about House of Cards, the second season, until it is released on the 14th of February.
But she can't talk about the first season.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
But I'm working on this interview to be on the 25th of February, after the season. That way we can talk about House of Cards. Have you checked out House of Cards yet?
No, I actually, that was going to be like our next show. And then for some reason we decided to start Boardwalk Empire. And now we're like addicted to it.
Okay. Well, when you get done Boardwalk Empire, make sure you do check out House of Cards. Amazing series. Kevin Spacey.
Check it out before the 25th of next month.
Well, you're going to have 26 episodes at that point to catch up on.
Yeah, but even if I check out, you know, just the first little bit,
Know. Gives you a taste.
Yeah.
She actually didn't start working on it, I believe, until the 7th or 8th episode, maybe the 5th. We can get clarification from her, but I am working on that on the 25th right here on this program of February. So about a month away, if everything falls into place. She was a little nervous. People in Hollywood do get nervous. She was a little nervous about doing an interview before it came out, in case we did ask questions about.
Oh no, yeah, I wouldn't want to put her in that situation. So I'm glad that you pushed it back, you know, because I wouldn't want her to feel, oh, I can't talk about that or whatever, you know. At least if that's the answer, that's the answer. I'm not going to be trying to push her for anything because I don't want to get her in trouble with her job. But,
she doesn't know that, though. So.
Well, no, I know that, but I don't, you know.
I do know.
Yeah, no.
I do know. First time, long time, Justin.
Yeah, first time, long time.
So I'm looking forward to that. That's coming up in about a month, so that should be an amazing episode and quite an honor that, and I'll probably put a print interview of it up as well on Tara's Independent Voice, the website that hopefully you will be working with soon.
Hopefully.
I still have to send the introduction between you and Tara. Tara's great. Make sure you check out Tara's Independent Voice as well. You'll see some of my reviews there. And hopefully Justin's pretty soon. Justin coming from a very macho perspective.
Yes, because I
You embody.
Yes, I am. When there used to be a saying in the early 90s.
Oh, my God. I don't know where you're going again. It's
a man would walk down the street with a certain sway to him, and he would say, I ooze with machismo.
Yes.
Now, I don't want to say that I ooze with machismo, only because it's protected by copyright laws and quite possibly trademark laws. But I will say I am a lot more macho than Jesse Katsopolis.
That's Uncle Jesse.
Yes.
That's quite a claim.
Yes. Now, I will admit John Stamos has better hair, and I am jealous. But I am more macho.
Very well. Very well. Now, Justin, where can the fine people check out Moose Knuckle, yourself, and various other projects that you're working on? Of course, you're part of Vermillion, the movie.
Yes. And
give us some updates on that. What's going on with that? Before we close out here, what's going on with Vermillion right now?
Right now, Vermillion is... We are working on the backstories. Yes. I just got a message on my phone. It confused me. We're working on the backstories. We're filming them, editing them. Some people are acting in them. There's some good. They're actually. I got the script. The script is final. And I'm not just saying this because I'm part of it. I was, like, legit blown away by it. It's very good.
Now, for edification
purposes. Veronica Varnakis and Ron Fulmer, the two people that wrote it, did a bang-up job on the script.
Now, for edification purposes, however, you do tend to like, I don't want to say B-movies, but you tend
I like campy movies.
You like camp.
Yeah.
So coming from that field, is the script? Do you think the script was
no,
good
it's not
as
a, no.
a mainstream or as kind
I,
of a campy thing?
I think it has somewhat of a mainstream appeal. It depends on how the acting comes out. On how campy it'll be, because the lines can, if the lines are delivered terrible, it's going to be campy. If they're delivered right, it could be good.
So very similar to the first Resident Evil game, how the lines are delivered.
No.
The master of keys, if you will.
No, oh, the master of unlocking?
Yes, that's what
Or, whoa, that was close. You were almost a Jill sandwich.
Yes. So nothing that campy.
Ouch! Jill, this house is haunted by monsters! No, it's not that bad.
Very well, then. You know, I'm hopeful. Send me the first 10 pages.
I believe I can do that.
The first 10 pages, because they will tell you in any book, in any class, in any film-related subject, the first 10 pages sent the tone. It's like the first 5 minutes of a podcast.
Well, yeah, and that's why I go by that rule with, like, say it's a YouTube video. I give it 10%. I look at it, oh, it's, you know, 15 minutes. I'll give it a minute and a half, you know?
Yeah.
This sucks. I'm turning it off.
Exactly. And a lot of people do that, whether subconsciously or not. That it sets the tone.
Yeah.
You have to grab the audience that quickly. It's very true. Some people don't know that very simple rule, but it's very true. So that's my nugget of knowledge, Justin.
Which is why when I write all the best stuff in the beginning and then disappoint at the end.
Exactly. Yes, that's what happens. Mary, the mother of God, here in this scene. I don't understand.
I was drunk when I wrote that.
There may have been some type of mood-inducing behaviors. I'm not sure.
I may have boiled some absinthe. I'm not quite sure.
A sugar cube was involved. I'm not sure.
Yeah. But you can check out updates on Vermillion Movie on Twitter, at Vermillion Movie, Vermillion Movie. And you can also check us out on Facebook at Vermillion the Movie, where the updates come along.
Casting announcements, that sort of thing. What about yourself, personally?
Personally, I am involved with, you know, Vermillion the movie. I'm also involved with the radio show and the editing and stuff like that. But on the side, I do, and I occasionally, I have to get back to doing it, I occasionally broadcast on Twitch with my PSN ID. If you want to friend it, I will accept it. Capital AWSOM 82, all caps, awesome 82. And I am also on Twitter, AWSOM 82.
That's
how you can find me.
There you go. I had fun tonight, Justin.
You can also find Moose Knuckle Entertainment at Moose KE. We're attempting to get back to sending things out more often, but we'll see how that goes.
I hope so. I enjoyed the vines.
Thank you.
Now, I am, of course, the Dean of Credibility, Double D. You can find me at Folsom County. Tomorrow night, Sicknick Mondo joins us and burlesque entertainer Haley Jane. And you can also find out more information at www.hiactalkradio.com. Also follow the Twitter at hiactalkradio, facebook.com/hiactalkradio. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher Radio. We're in the planning stages of a few big things, so keep your eye out. Not only
and
that,
world domination.
Well, that too. That just goes along with it.
Yeah.
So until tomorrow night, I'll see you there for the return of HIAC Talk Radio as we have Nick Mondo. Did I say we had Nick Mondo?
Yes, I believe you did say you had sick Nick Mondo.
That's right. CZW Original tomorrow night on the flagship. But until then, you guys have a good night.
Yes, I'm Justin Clayton, and I will see you later. Hopefully, in a good mood.